July 9th, 2004. At about 11 o'clock that night, I was laying down, getting ready to go to bed. Way off in the distance, I heard what I thought was a high-powered gunshot. It was definitely a distinctive sound. Within 15 minutes, I got a phone call from my sergeant telling me that somebody had been shot on Old Mill Road. My name is Greg Sorensen. I'm a detective with the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Department.
911. There was a big bang and some guy was screaming, help, help, help.
It just sounded like a gunshot.
The man was yelling for help about 4 or 5 times.
I think we need an ambulance and maybe police.
Most of the neighbors were startled by hearing the gunfire. It frightened them. Some of them would not look outside, and those that did saw Jared lying on the entryway and the doorstep of his apartment complex. He had been shot. The victim was Jared Davidson, who was a UC Santa Barbara graduate student.
Jared was incredibly kind and funny.
He really was a joy to everybody who knew him. He was one of those fun people you just wanted to be around because he made your life better. We're Jared's cousins. We were raised more like brothers and sisters.
Now I need to smile.
Smile, Jared.
Kelly and Jared were both in chemistry, and you know, that's how they met. When Kelly got pregnant, he married her because that is the right thing to do.
He went to school full time. He worked full time. He took care of that baby. He did so much. It really was Kelly who decided to leave. She wanted a child and she wanted it all for herself.
Are you ready?
He cherished his daughter, Malia.
Yay!
It was all about her.
Everything he was doing at that point was to create a better life for her.
Hey, Malia, can I see your eyes? Where are your eyes?
Anytime you throw a penny into a well or blow on the pussy willow to make a wish, she says, I wish my daddy was here.
Where's your daddy? Yeah, I'm your daddy.
It was one shot that killed Jared Davidson. This was not a random shooting. We noticed that there was a potted plant lying near the doorstep. It had a card that said, to my teacher. The plant had been used as a ruse to get him to come out of the apartment. The person who killed him was hiding back in the shadows. There was one person who we focused on.
I thought I knew definitely who did it.
Murder comes knocking.
When I found out he was murdered, I just kept screaming out, he was so good, he was so good.
In July 2004, Jared Davidson was shot to death outside his apartment in Santa Barbara. He was just 27 years old.
It has destroyed a happy, loving family. Our family used to be so filled with joy and laughter.
Jared's cousins, Courtney and Marissa, grew up close to Jared and his younger brother, Michael.
When it's the three of us, when it's our family and he's missing, it hurts. It hurts.
He was someone that I looked up to, that I loved to hang out with, loved to fight with, loved to play with. I lost my best friend.
This is when we thought we was gonna be a businessman because. Right.
The tragedy has scarred everyone in this tight-knit family.
I'd give anything to take that day back. I would.
Jared's parents, Richard and Susan, remember their son as athletic, but quiet.
He was very shy and really very sweet.
It was not until he was in college that Jared discovered his true passion.
Somehow he got involved in chemistry class, and chemistry just became his life.
And it was in chemistry class where he met Kelly Jones.
It was the first day of classes, and we were both going to our organic chemistry lab. There was a misprint in the schedule, so I happened to end up in the wrong room on the right day, and he was in the right room on the wrong day.
About a year after they met, Jared and Kelly moved in together. And not long after that, they had some big news to break to both families.
We sat down at a table across from each other, and immediately he said, well, the reason you're here is because Kelly's pregnant. And not a heartbeat after that, she said, and I'm not having an abortion.
Were you trying to get pregnant?
No.
This was a surprise.
She was a pleasant surprise.
Did you ever wonder if she got pregnant intentionally?
Yes.
Do you think she did?
Yes.
Kelly was 3 months pregnant in January of 2000 when she and Jared got married.
It was beautiful. The wedding was perfect. I was really happy.
But from the very beginning, the marriage showed signs of trouble.
I remember once after they were married, she started complaining that he didn't squeeze the toothpaste right. And I said, you know what? Me and my boyfriend have the exact same problem. We've decided to buy two separate tubes of toothpaste. You have yours, I have mine. Life will go on. She looked at me like I had said the most ridiculous thing in the world, and she went, no, he just needs to do it the right way. The first time I met her, I said, oh, she's such a nice girl. I'm so happy for Jared. The next time I met her, liked her a little bit less. Next time, liked her a little bit less.
In July of that year, Kelly gave birth to a girl who they named Malia.
He was so happy, just so proud and so happy.
But those happy feelings didn't last very long. Besides the new baby, Jared and Kelly were both still in school.
Let's go over this one more time.
And he worked part-time teaching. In fact, they both had jobs. So most of the child care fell to Kelly's parents, Phil and Mindy Jones.
Kelly thought family was her and her mother, and her mother telling her what to do about everything. And Jared thought family was him and Kelly and Malia, and them making decisions for their own family.
Jared and Kelly's relationship continued to deteriorate.
Richard and I said, we're concerned about you. Is everything okay?
And what did he say?
No, it's not. And I'm not sure what to do.
He seemed to never be home. It was one thing after another. You know, it was, I need to go to the library and study. I have a test tomorrow. So I kind of felt like a single mom.
She started making accusations that he wasn't home enough, that he must be sleeping with a study partner.
Before Malia's first birthday, Jared had moved out and filed for divorce. The court awarded Kelly custody and granted Jared visitation. But Kelly made it very difficult for Jared to see his own daughter.
She controlled when he got to see her, and that was rarely.
I thought because I had done most of the caregiving that it might do both of them a little bit of good to take their time and ease into it.
But over time, things only got worse.
Giddy up!
Fighting over Malia went on for the next 3 years. At times, Jared and Kelly both dragged sheriff's deputies into the mess to mediate their visitation disputes.
There were numerous occasions where he had gone to try to pick up his child at her residence and was denied access to the child.
When Santa Barbara detective Greg Sorensen was called to Jared's apartment the night of the murder, he was already well aware of the family's domestic problems.
Instantly, I thought of his ex-wife possibly being involved in this.
But neighbors had reported seeing two suspicious-looking people quickly leaving the apartment complex.
One person was described as a female. Could it have been Kelly? Possibly.
Kelly was immediately brought in for questioning.
I told her during the course of the interview that he had been murdered. She didn't show a lot of emotion. It wasn't until we had mentioned to her how we were suspicious of the way she reacted to us telling her that he had been murdered, then she started to cry.
While she may have had a motive to commit murder, Kelly also had a very strong alibi for that night, telling detectives she was with her daughter and a friend some 90 miles away from here Jared's apartment. Her story checked out. Still, investigators were not convinced that Kelly was entirely innocent. Finally, the big break they desperately needed came, thanks to, of all things, that potted plant found at the crime scene.
Highly unusual to see a plant out on the walkway in this particular location.
Detectives believe that someone had knocked on the door, delivering the plant as a gift to lure Jared outside. The plant had been purchased at a nearby store just minutes before the murder.
We acquired some videotape surveillance of the person purchasing the plant.
A person who appeared to be wearing a disguise.
She's wearing a baseball cap. She's wearing a large, baggy sweatshirt.
That's the same description of the female seen leaving Jared's apartment complex just after the shooting.
It looked like Kelly Davidson. Same size, same build, and walked similar to her.
The investigation was just beginning. It would take nearly 5 months for detectives to realize this case was anything but simple.
If they're bringing me in for questioning, they must have reason to believe that I'm involved somehow.
I don't think she's as innocent and naive as she tries to make herself look. I truly believe that she was the person that was down here buying that potted plant.
Detective Sorensen thinks there's more than just this store video that could link Kelly to her ex-husband Jared's murder.
He was specifically targeted by somebody who knew about him and knew his background.
Detectives are convinced that the gift card in the plant that was found outside of Jared Davidson's apartment had his name purposely misspelled.
It looked like the person was trying to disguise their handwriting and disguise their true knowledge of his name.
That's all a pretty good theory, but it is not hard evidence, which this case badly needed if ever there was going to be an arrest. Finally, 5 months after Jared's murder, detectives got another big break. And once again, the potted plant would play a pivotal role. But this time, it was from the plastic card holder, much like this one, that was in the plant found near Jared's body.
A state crime lab showed us how it discovered female DNA on that card holder, apparently from someone's hands.
I mean, this is the first piece of hard physical evidence that you have to work with.
That's true.
And Detective Sorensen felt pretty sure he knew whose DNA was on the card holder.
Happy birthday.
We immediately went to Kelly Davidson with a search warrant for her DNA. If anybody had the motive to have this carried out, it was her.
In trying to build a case against Kelly, detectives decided to focus on her relationship with her parents, Phil and Mindy Jones.
You're pretty close with your parents, right?
Extremely.
You discuss a lot of things with each other?
Yes. As far as I was concerned, we discussed everything.
More than that, investigators quickly determined that Kelly didn't make a move without consulting her parents, especially her mother.
Kelly didn't make decisions.
Kelly didn't make decisions?
No.
Who made the decisions?
Mindy.
Phil and Mindy Jones actively supported their daughter in her visitation and custody fight with Jared.
These are people that you're either with us or you're against us. And God forbid you be against them.
It became a long and ugly court battle, and Kelly's parents clearly saw Jared as being against them.
The arrangement was that he would pick Malia up Kelly's apartment, but because Kelly worked late, then he would have to drop her off to Mindy and Phil.
early on, they would call him names.
Such as?
Oh.
To his face?
No, to Malia's face. She'd take Malia out of the car and say, "Your daddy's an asshole."
Sometimes weeks would go by, and Jared would be kept from seeing his child.
They started attacking me in the courtroom, saying that I wasn't cooperating, that I was doing everything that I could to be vindictive and take her away from him.
And you didn't see it that way?
No, I didn't.
But a judge apparently did. In these court documents, a judge condemned Kelly's ongoing refusal to allow Jared to see his daughter. The judge questioned Kelly's honesty and her respect for court orders, strongly suggesting that if she continued to deny Jared visitation, Kelly could actually lose custody of Malia altogether.
I think they got very scared that they were going to lose Malia.
Jared Davidson was going to go back to court to try to get full custody of that girl. And that is the last thing that they wanted to have happen. They wanted him out of their lives. They wanted him out of the picture.
It was just 19 days before that hearing that Jared was murdered.
And then the last weekend, my sweetie.
Me in the water. My love. I know.
Investigators decided to question Phil. He denied any involvement in the killing and told them he couldn't have shot Jared because he is physically incapable of holding or firing a rifle. Phil claims he'd been disabled in a nearly fatal car accident back in the early 1980s when he worked as a carpenter.
Phil had painted the picture and told us that his hand was crippled and he couldn't carry anything.
They're walking back towards me. You got them, Warren?
Well, we decided to put surveillance on them and just to see how incapacitated he really is.
Stop, did you get him coming out of the store?
They followed Phil and Mindy with hidden cameras. And just look what they found.
See, right here you can see that Phil picks up a case of what I believe is wine, mm-hmm. and it's certainly heavier than a rifle.
He was lying.
Right.
If Kelly's father was lying about that, Detective Sorensen wondered what else might he be lying about.
Phil and Mindy Jones told investigators they were on a beach some 90 miles away from Jared when he was ambushed and gunned down. What they didn't realize was their cell phone was tracking their every move, and it indicated they were nowhere near the beach.
The cell site information was telling us something completely different.
Cell tower records indicate that Kelly placed a call to her parents that night before the murder occurred, and that they were actually driving down a highway directly towards Jared's apartment.
Well, that's very critical. That punches a big hole in their alibi of being at the beach.
But there is still the unanswered question about whose DNA is on that plant card holder. Sorensen is shocked to learn it is not Kelly's, it's her mother's, Mindy Jones, who he now suspects played a pivotal role in Jared's murder.
I believe that Melinda was the one who put the plan together and exactly how they were going to eliminate him.
So 6 months after Jared Davidson's fatal shooting, his ex-mother-in-law, Mindy Jones, is arrested for his murder. Detectives take a closer look at the store surveillance video and now believe it is Mindy, not her daughter Kelly, who is seen buying that potted plant used to lure Jared out of his apartment.
When she checked out at the checkout stand, she had the sleeves of her sweatshirt pulled up over her hands, which appeared to us that she was doing everything she could to cover up possible fingerprints on the pot.
Apparently, Mindy let her guard down for just one critical moment, a moment caught on just one frame of that store video.
You see that a person appears to reach and grab what we believe was a plastic card holder.
The moment detectives believe Mindy transfers DNA from her hand to the cardholder.
So if not for the DNA, you may not have even been able to make an arrest?
That's true.
Phil Jones is arrested not long after his wife, Mindy. Detectives are now convinced they both murdered their ex-son-in-law. We retraced the steps that detectives believe they took that night.
Melinda went up to the door, placed the plant down at the doorstep, knocked on his door, while Philip was about 15 to 20 feet away over in the bushes with that high-powered rifle. Jared peered out the window to look to see what was outside. He went to get the plant, and at that point, Philip Jones shot and killed him.
Even though Kelly was nowhere near the crime scene, she is also arrested. Though her alleged role in all of this is far from clear.
And I believe that she was involved in the planning of this murder.
From the beginning.
From the beginning.
At this point, though, there is no evidence to support that. And Kelly and her parents all claim they are innocent.
But the reality of it is, I had nothing to do with the death of Malia's father. I did not kill her father.
Hey, Malia, where's your nose? Nose.
Malia will not know what a wonderful person her father was.
Where's your daddy?
And how devoted he was to her.
Come on down, little munchkin.
Next to Jared himself, perhaps the most tragic victim of this murder is Jared's little girl, Malia, who was just 3 years old at the time of the shooting.
We have relied on psychologists to tell us how to interact with Malia, particularly over this.
Malia turned 6 in 2006. We agreed not to show what she looked like.
All right, sweetie, that's good. There's a car coming.
She has suffered an overwhelming loss. Her father was murdered. Her mother was arrested, as were the grandparents with whom she had spent nearly every day of her life.
She has said, I don't have a mommy now, and I don't have a daddy, and I'm different.
Jared's parents are now raising Malia and trying to help her deal with this tremendous vacuum in her life.
I think the wisest thing that the therapist ever said to us was, if you treat her as if she's broken, she will be. And to be honest with her.
When Jared was murdered, Kelly had told Malia only that a bad man had shot her daddy.
In her therapy session, she drew a picture of a bad man standing over a body with a gun in his hand.
Does she know who that bad man is?
We chose through the coaching of the psychologist because she brought that up. She said, well, Papa was the bad man who shot your daddy.
What was her reaction?
Family don't kill family. What was he thinking?
17 months after Jared Davidson's murder, authorities finally managed to get Philip Jones to confess to the killing. But he does so only when prosecutors agree that his daughter Kelly will not be tried for the murder.
It was not easy to hear that she was cutting such a deal. I think she helped plan it. I'm sure she found joy in it.
The Davidsons go to court to see their son's killer sentenced.
Don't you have anything to say at all?
But it is a stunningly different Philip Jones they see. While in jail, he has been diagnosed with terminal lung cancer.
I know that I am dying and will meet with my maker very soon.
Struggling just to breathe, Phil Jones admits he pulled the trigger.
I shot and killed Jared. Mindy and I believed that we needed to do something.
As part of a plea deal, the judge reluctantly allows Kelly's father to offer his explanation for why he did it.
Sometimes good people do terrible things.
Philip Jones claims that Jared was molesting Malia and had to be stopped.
I did a terrible thing in killing Jared Davidson to protect our granddaughter. Jared Davidson did a terrible thing too.
The sickening accusation against Jared first came from Kelly, roughly 4 months before the murder. Kelly says she learned of it from Malia.
I just thought with her going to preschool that maybe she needs to know where it's okay for people to touch her and where it's not. At the end, I asked if anybody touched her somewhere they shouldn't have. And when she said yes, I said, who? And she said, my daddy does.
Kelly contacted the authorities, and Detective Sorensen was assigned to help investigate what was a very serious allegation. And at first, it seemed there might be something to the charge.
Jared Davidson took a polygraph examination with our department.
A lie detector test that Sorensen says Jared failed over one key question.
It was a question about inappropriate touching. He was very nervous, which was understandable.
Because stress can sometimes lead to false results, Jared's parents paid for him to undergo a second privately administered polygraph test, which he passed. Investigators dug deeper and found no evidence to substantiate the claim.
We were not able to find any physical evidence, any corroborating statements, anything that would show that, yes, he did molest that girl.
Prosecutors refused to take the case.
It was rejected, and it was their belief that there was no molestation, it was fabricated.
That is also the firm belief of the entire Davidson family, who are horrified by the allegations, believing Kelly made them up for her custody fight.
Is Kelly lying about the molestation charges?
Absolutely.
Richard Davidson, wearing his murdered son's hockey jersey, is allowed to address the court.
Thank you, Your Honor.
He angrily defends Jared.
We have also seen repeated lies told solely for the purpose of slandering Jared's good name as a sick attempt to justify the defendant's murderous act.
Perhaps equally outraged is the judge in this case.
Jared Davidson does not have the ability to respond to those allegations because you killed him, you murdered him. This is an execution murder, lying in wait. Thank you. Court's adjourned.
He sentences Phil Jones to life in prison with no chance of parole. Phil is sent here to a special hospice unit inside a California prison. Since his sentencing, it appears for the moment that his health has improved dramatically.
Come on over and show us what you have here.
In an exclusive interview with 48 Hours, Phil Jones continues to insist Malia was molested.
I know for a fact, because she told me.
He also claims he was very sensitive to what Malia said because he had been a victim of molestation as a child.
I know how it affects people.
Did you or your daughter ever ask your son-in-law if he had done this or if there could be any explanation for it?
No, I did not. I didn't ask him.
Philip Jones' decision to commit murder appears to be based solely on the word of a 3-year-old child.
What are you doing over there, young lady?
A child prosecutors are convinced was coached into making the claim.
Maybe Malia might have said something, but 3-year-olds say things that aren't necessarily true and use that as an excuse to go out and murder somebody is outrageous.
So there was no other choice than to shoot this man?
I sure couldn't think of one. I just couldn't come up with anything else.
There's Leah in the pool.
I wish there had been some other way, but it was my responsibility to protect my granddaughter.
As he now feels he must protect his daughter, Kelly. But what role, if any, did she play in her ex-husband's murder?
You didn't pull the trigger, but are you just as guilty for the death?
Am
I've been through chemotherapy and radiation treatments. And there's nothing more that medical science can do.
Philip Jones may be living on borrowed time as he begins serving a life sentence for murdering his ex-son-in-law, Jared Davidson.
Did you know at the time that you had terminal cancer?
I did not.
So that didn't factor in your decision at all to kill this man, knowing that you may not be alive?
No, it didn't. I had no idea.
But knowledge of his fatal illness probably made his plea deal, to be locked away for what life he has left, a little easier to accept.
I just confessed and pled guilty in exchange for my daughter being taken out of the equation. She was threatened with life imprisonment. And as everyone knows, there are a lot of innocent people in prison.
Was your daughter a part of the plot to kill her ex-husband?
No, she wasn't.
As part of the deal...
How do you plead?
Kelly is allowed to plead guilty to three lesser charges, but each is still a serious crime.
Accessory to murder and two counts of perjury.
Outside of courts, Kelly remains quite defiant.
By entering the plea, I was in essence lying in a courtroom. The charges I pled guilty to is that I helped cover up after the fact.
And did you?
No, I didn't.
So why did you agree to the plea?
Because in my opinion, our justice system is flawed just enough that I couldn't trust a jury. I would be gambling my entire life, and Lee is.
Kelly is sentenced to 4 years in prison. But with good behavior, she could be out after serving only about a year and a half. An outrage to Jared's father, who told the court so.
As for my son's ex-wife, to whom I believe personally responsible for the death of my son and for the tormenting him throughout the precious time he had with his daughter, she should receive the maximum sentence permitted by law.
So with Kelly avoiding a long prison sentence and her father's deal done, that leaves Kelly's mother, Mindy, as the last and perhaps the biggest target of them all.
You think Melinda is the mastermind of all of this?
I do.
Mastermind or not, Mindy refuses a plea deal for herself. She'll take her chances in court. But there's a problem. It seems Mindy can't remember anything. 6 months after her arrest, Mindy woke up one morning in jail claiming she had lost her memory.
Yeah, she claimed that she had amnesia and that she had lost her memory and didn't know who anybody was. Very convenient.
Not for Mindy's attorney, Robert Landier. He says she is completely incapable of assisting in her own defense, like trying to explain why her DNA was on the plant card holder found at the murder scene.
She asserts to this day that she doesn't remember what happened.
And do you believe that?
It doesn't matter what I believe, that's what she says. I'm not able to look into people's eyes and know whether they're telling the truth or not.
Compounding matters for the defense, the witness with the greatest potential to harm Mindy...
Mr. Jones, please step forward to the witness stand.
...is her own husband, Phil, who is called to testify by the prosecution.
I don't believe I'm going to answer those questions.
He does his best not to cooperate.
Was your wife with you when you shot Jared Davidson?
I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to answer that.
But the judge insists he must testify.
You've been sentenced. You're not at jeopardy. I'm ordering you to respond to the question.
You knew you had to find a way to get him out of the house or out of his apartment so that you could use the rifle. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And that's why you went over to Vaughn's and your wife went in to buy the plant so that you would be able to get Jared to come out, correct?
So says you.
I'm asking you, sir. You're the one who committed the murder.
The defense had hoped, at worst, to make a case for voluntary manslaughter.
It's at least an argument for voluntary manslaughter and not murder.
Suggesting that, in her mind, Mindy had to kill Jared to protect her granddaughter. But the prosecutor maintained that the family made the whole thing up
preceding.
And the judge, this time, refused to allow any mention of the alleged molestation.
The defense is not available.
The record reflects that I asked the court to reconsider.
That's fine. That's
you were left with very little to defend this woman.
It was slim pickings.
As Lantier sees it, the truth of whether Jared molested Malia is not even the real issue here.
Whether or not he did it or not is not the question. They honestly held that belief that the child was going to suffer some harm at his hands. It was perhaps misguided and tragic.
But given the tough restrictions from the judge, the defense is left only with the opportunity to hint to the jurors that there is more to the story than they've been told.
Crime is sometimes evil, and sometimes crime is not crime. Sometimes it is justifiable.
You and your wife thought you had outsmarted everybody, didn't you?
No, that's not true.
Throughout it all, Mindy has maintained she remembers absolutely nothing of Jared's killing, but that she is innocent of the murder charges against her. The jury takes several hours over 2 days to reach a verdict.
You think Mindy orchestrated all of this?
Yes.
But what do the jurors think?
Verdict. We, the jury, in the above entitled case, hereby find the defendant, Melinda Jean Jones, guilty of the crime of murder in violation of penal code.
Mindy shows no reaction to the verdict or the sentence to spend the rest of her days in prison with no chance of parole.
There's no remorse, there's no regret, right. And nothing will bring him back.
Do you think that Phil or Mindy should have been given the death penalty?
I do. It kills me that they get to live and he's gone.
There is no closure or relief for Jared's parents, Richard and Susan, now that Kelly and her parents have all been sent off to prison. Instead, the Davidsons express new fears for their family's safety.
Are you afraid of Kelly?
Yes. The sense of loss will never go away.
He's always missing. He's always missing.
And then he has his full name, Jared.
Jared Davidson's parents and brother feel it is very important for Malia to visit her father's grave.
And it says that he was a devoted father, your daddy. He was our son. He was Mikey's brother.
That's where his memory is. That's where she can go to be closer to him.
Richard feels tremendous guilt.
Sorry I wasn't there for you.
Convinced he could have somehow prevented his son's murder.
I had a concern for Jared's life.
As he describes it, he had secretly feared that the Joneses might murder his son to get him out of Malia's life.
And I didn't share that with he or my wife. And I will live with that guilt for the rest of my life for not sharing that.
I see the tears and the emotion, Phil. Is that regret for what you did? Is that...
No, it's thinking about what has happened to my granddaughter and the way that it has affected my entire family.
They acted on what they thought was in the best interest of my daughter, and I can't fault anybody for that.
Good girl!
It is thoughts of her daughter that help Kelly keep going.
How much do you miss her?
Whoa. I don't even think I can describe it. I miss everything about her. She's the reason I got up every morning. She's the reason I went to work. She's the reason I took the deal so I could get home with her.
And it is Kelly's intense feelings for Malia that have the Davidsons worried about their own safety.
She's in jail. There are bad people in jail. Our concern is that she develops a relationship that gets us murdered.
You have a fear of this?
Yes.
Yes.
As it is, the Davidsons already face a tough challenge. Somehow, they have to help their granddaughter piece together her life as she tries to make sense of her father's senseless murder by people she had trusted and loved.
As she grows up, she'll learn more and she'll understand more.
And she'll eventually have the documents to read to draw her own conclusions.
Philip Jones died in 2007 while serving his prison sentence. Kelly Davidson was released from prison in 2007.